Let me pray, and we're going to jump in. We talk about discipleship. Up, you're in, you're out. Check in and see how everyone's doing. Remember Amanda out running. Father in heaven, may what we do here tonight glorify you. May it hallow your holy name. May your kingdom come and your will be done here within our little group. Open our hearts and minds to see the beautiful things that are in your truth. Truly, Lord Jesus, being our daily bread, walking in forgiveness, guiding us through our trials, and in this space, in this time, deliver us from all evil. We trust this time into your hands, your kingdom, your power, and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone just have something to share from a testimony perspective? An encounter, a moment as you're growing, you're up, as you're focusing on your relationships, discipleship relationships, or just a life moment that you're maneuvering on your own?
From Sunday.
Okay.
The new man that came up and spoke.
Aiden Fox.
So I went up, shook his hand, congratulated him.
Oh, good.
Joy to people.
Very brave.
What you got to remember now, so you are the brightest, shining spot on the devil's radar.
There you go.
Because you stepped out and said, this is what I want, this is who I am. And now he says, man, I've lost one, I've got to get back to it. I got to try. So he's going to try really hard, so you got to make sure.
Yeah.
You just keep your faith.
And keep praying for Aiden. He's still got quite a journey ahead of him. But yeah, definitely. I think it's great you encouraged him. We all need encouragement, don't we? Yeah. What else? Reflections, life moments, challenges. Jason.
I will say I have a challenge. I'm working with one of our members and just some issues going on as far as I don't think they're going in the right direction, but I'm still trying to lead them, which through, going down and picking up, helping pick up the kids and bringing them back. Me thinking a lot, these kids absorb so much that week. And we try to only absorb stuff on Sunday morning. So I've been looking at men's retreats and ladies' retreats and couples' retreats that are just a weekend to where we can actually go and get poured in for the entire weekend, block out the world. And I'm hoping to be able to get a couple of guys to go to one of these men's retreats, the one I'm working with being one of them, just to see, hey, life is so much more, and God's got plans for it.
This can be real special times. Yeah. Run with it. What else? Life moments that God's leading you through to growing your up, growing your in. Tonight we talk about your out.
I need a better explanation.
He got one meeting. I give people one meeting about the book of Revelation.
Part of your sermon was, he's just wearing me out. He's literal. This is what it's going to be. I did tell him I was polite. I said, you're old school, you're literal, you're faith.
Yeah.
That's what you believe. That is not a problem.
Just you have to ask him, is Jesus a lamb or is he a man? Which one is it?
So I asked, I told him, I said, hey,
yeah.
That is the way I am taking it. So I'm giving it to you when you ask me a question. I give it from his side of the story, not your side. You've got to go with me. And then he starts talking about television. So
is the Revelation series still up?
Yeah, it should all be there. Yeah, it should all be there. Yeah.
I've been doing that. Studying it when I was.
Oh, reading through it? Yeah.
And it's a really, I like it. It's just a really different take on Revelation.
Yep.
But yeah, it makes sense. It makes more sense to me.
It should make.
Between what you preached last year and this, I'm finally able to kind of start putting it together. Because
good.
The Revelation is always kind of told us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I'm actually thinking, man, this isn't so bad after all.
No, it's good stuff. It's comforting. It's
I mean, it's just not at all the picture I have had in my mind for ever. I just, yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, it's really been good. I've enjoyed it.
We're going to look at two passages, and they're two passages that seem to be very much opposed to each other in how Jesus does evangelism. Evangelism can be very intimidating, depending on the culture that you grew up in. The idea of cold calls, of going door to door, of walking, do you believe if you die tonight, you go to heaven? Hey, if you stood before God and he asked you, why should he let you into heaven? What would you say? And that can be very, very intimidating. And I also think, not really biblical, if we look at the way Jesus did evangelism, sharing the kingdom message with people who are outside of his discipleship circle. And we want to learn how to do things the way that Jesus did things. So first, let's look at Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, the first 11 verses. And we're going to compare that with Mark chapter 10 and 10 verses over there. We want to do things the way that Jesus did things. We want the kingdom to come. We want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke 10. We're talking about the out now, that triangle. Growing our up, our relationship with God, our in, relationship with our discipleship family, our faith family. Now out. We all have these outside relationships, okay? Luke chapter 10, could someone read verses 1 through 11? 1 through 11. Yep.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you.'"
Nope, you're good. Yeah.
"I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town."
What an interesting passage. What a very interesting passage. So Jesus has an advance team. He has intentions of going and seeing these Jewish communities. There is something maybe in the number 72. Numbers are special in Scripture, not from a numerological setting. Oh, if we add up all the letters and the numbers, then it tells us who the Antichrist is. Numbers don't work that way, but buried within a number is often a message. The first time we see 72 mentioned, like in the book of Genesis, is what we call the Table of Nations. And the 72 is the number of Jacob's relatives that went down to Egypt. Right? So this is something about what Jesus' intention is, I want to go reach the world. Okay, this is a reaching world kind of issue. He says, I want to go out and I want to see all these places. I want to talk to these people and I'm sending you ahead to prepare the way. Okay. The harvest is plentiful. That can be hard maybe to grab a hold of because sometimes it doesn't feel like the harvest is plentiful. Sometimes it can feel like we're planting in concrete and not getting anything out of it. It can feel that way, but from Jesus's perspective, nope, the harvest is plentiful. What are we lacking? We're lacking those that can go out and access that field. Okay. And what we're going to talk about tonight is how we access new fields, doorways into work relationships, families, neighborhoods, identifying what we call a person of peace. He says, you're going to go into a town and you're going to speak peace into that community. You're going to speak the message of Jesus. You're going to speak the message of the gospel. And someone, that's going to resonate with someone. And that person now becomes your launching point for ministry. Stay with them. Hang out with them. Now, if you go into a place and you're not received, move on. Move on. Okay? There's very much this sense of talking. There's very much this sense of discernment, of listening, and not forcing the issue. We are not to be bulls in a china shop when it comes to the gospel, because some people are ready and some people aren't. And maybe you've bumped into that. Some hearts are ready, some hearts aren't. And Jesus seems to be very, very okay with that reality. Because after all, it's the Holy Spirit that draws someone to God's presence. Holding that passage, now turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and let's kind of in some respects, it kind of feels like this passage flows against our understanding of evangelism and maybe works in stereo with what we just read. Could someone read Mark 10, verses 17 through verse 27? 17 to 27.
Okay. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud, and honor your mother and father. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.
All right, can anyone, even if it's just broad strokes, just put that narrative into your own words? Reader's Digest version, 30,000 feet, kind of. What happened?
Well, he makes the statement in Reader's Digest, because the individual that it came to him wants to know how he can get that.
Sure.
And he says, I've done everything. And the Lord, Jesus is telling him, to get to heaven, you have to follow me. And by following me, you have to be last, leave first. Means you have to give everything up that is an earthly possession.
Yeah.
And you only need a heavenly possession. And the heavens will take care of you, spirit and soul. So you don't need the earthly belongings.
And then what happened?
He went away because he wasn't ready to give up the earthly possessions that he had worked so hard to get, that he thought would make his life good to go to heaven.
I mean, talk about. So this guy runs up to you and says, hey, how do I get saved? I mean, talk about low-hanging fruit, man. Like, who does not wish? Complete stranger. Dude, will you please tell me how I can go to heaven and be saved? And so Jesus lays it out there. You know, what is Jesus? And in essence, what does Jesus do? He kind of gives snippets of what central piece of Old Testament teaching. Do you recognize it? Look in that passage. Jesus kind of grabs a few of the Ten Commandments. Then hit all of them. He says, hey, yeah, enough for us to know and the guy to know. Yeah, I follow the Ten Commandments. I walk righteously before God. So is that what I need to do? Am I good to go? I mean, that's what I was taught. And he says, yeah, kind of, for the most part. Just go sell everything.
Missing the justice portion.
It's just like Peter in the book, you know. Leave everything behind and follow me.
Here's the interesting thing. Guy runs up to Jesus. What do I need to know to go to heaven? Okay? What do I need to have life eternal? To walk in God's kingdom. Follow the Ten Commandments? Yep, following that. Awesome. Go sell everything. Follow me. We're good to go. And he's like, the guy walked off. And Jesus let him go. Why didn't Jesus chase him down? Shouldn't Jesus have grabbed a hold of him, maybe done something? He let him go. Maybe the disciples are kind of flabbergasted, like, what's going on here? Like, this guy would like to, and
in the end, doesn't it have to be your decision, not his decision?
What do you mean?
In the end, doesn't it have to be this individual's decision? He meant to be saved.
Hmm.
Jesus can't give it to you. You have to be ready to understand it and take it as a gift that is presented. It's like you keep saying, I can feed the horse salt and then stick his head under water.
I can't make him drink, but I can feed him salt.
Yes. But
yeah, you can't make him drink, but you can feed him salt.
The individual has to be ready for it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a drawing. There's a work that the Holy Spirit has to do in someone's life. But that's not how in many evangelical circles we presented evangelism. We present evangelism as a very heavy-handed, formulaic, all right, here's the four laws, spiritual laws, here's the Romans road, here, if I do this, then you get to have this. Dude, Jesus was flat out honest. The guy didn't want it. The guy walked off. Jesus was like, oh. And then Jesus went around his business. There seems to be something that Jesus is okay with that we need to learn to be okay with. So much so when you look at that other passage in Luke, we'll go back to it. Hey, if people don't receive you, just it's time to move on. That's not your person of peace. That's not your access point into that next field of harvest. All right?
How do you draw that line, you know, somebody that you love and, and you know, and yeah. It's just like,
yeah,
it's hard to do that because you want what's best for them.
Oh my goodness.
Better for them.
I can't help but think that Jesus wasn't weeping and heartbroken on the inside, right?
Right.
I mean, Jesus looked at Jerusalem. Every time he looked at Jerusalem, he would weep over Jerusalem. Oh, city who killed the prophets. You know? Oh, how I would have gathered you to myself the way a hen will gather her chicks. But what was Jerusalem? No. We have to be a little bit more tender and gentle and respecting the process that people have with people, that God has with people, especially when it comes to the out. This idea of relationship, of being present. So let's go look back at that Luke passage in Luke chapter 10 and see if there aren't some things that can kind of help us in shaping and understanding how we have relationships with those who are on the out, on the fringe of, who stand as doors, and how we can discern those who are brick walls, not ready to be an access point. Okay? So starting in Luke chapter 10, let's just kind of go through and we'll make some observations. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72. Okay, this is just another Bible way of saying, hey, we want to reach all, reach as many, sent them ahead, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. That can be encouraging. He would like access to where you work. He would like access to the homes and families in your neighborhood. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I'm working in partnership with God. I'm praying to the one who sends out. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Man, that just feels good, right? That's awesome. There you go. Hey, you are a lamb surrounded by wolves. You enjoy that. You enjoy that. Further, look at this. I love this. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. What does that mean? Greet no one on the road. You guys know what that means? It's kind of a jerk move. Greet no one on the road. Anyone know? It was appropriate in that time and culture if someone of a higher caste, economic status level would approach, then you would step back and you would give them the right of way. Okay? Jesus is like, we're not playing that game. Okay? Yes, no, we have work to do. Oh, no, Mr. Chris is not. Go find Jesus. Those are nice sunglasses. Jesus is saying, listen, you're not going to be distracted. Don't get stalled. Don't get hung up on social customs and mores. Listen, where there's a work to do. It's a dangerous work. You are like lambs amongst wolves. But you're going to have to trust me in this process. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Right? Talk to me about peace. What's your understanding of peace? What is peace? Or the negative, what is the absence of peace?
To me, peace is no matter what you're going through, resting in the known that God's got this.
Okay.
Jesus has got this.
Okay. What is peace?
That's my question.
I ask the questions.
Well, peace. You gave the class on the deep dives of breaking down words.
I did, yeah.
So the deep dive of peace, meaning what the meaning of peace would have been at this time.
Yeah. What
the
is
way it is written? Uh-huh. What is it referring to?
Yeah.
The way he is.
What is shalom? What is peace that Jesus is saying you to speak over this house? What is peace? Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God. What is peace?
Is it another way of saying, let God be with you?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. They often would use it as a form of greeting, shalom. Yeah. What is not peace? What does peace feel like? What does a lack of peace feel like? What's that? Chaos. Brokenness. Harmony. Yeah, those that that's it exactly. Exactly. If something is in a state of peace, it's a state of harmony. Everything is in balance. It is the kingdom of God personified, manifest, and experienced. Yeah. Yeah. How do you know God is in a place? There's peace there. Things are whole. Things are there is a sense of righteousness. As we walk with God and we walk with one another. Yeah. It's how you know where the kingdom of God is and where it is not. Satan comes to break the peace, to shatter the peace. Not the absence of war, but the presence of peace. There's a difference. There's a difference. Okay? Just because no one's fighting does not mean that everything's okay. Okay? Maybe you've had family reunions like that. No one's killing each other. But man is not a happy, harmonious place to be right now. Peace be with you. Speaking forth, using words to declare the presence of God. Okay? And what he says is, if a son of peace is there, if this environment is tuned in and ready for that message, it will resonate back to you. Okay? Think harmony, think music. If this place is tuned in, it will not fall on deaf ears. You'll be able to tell that this is a place that is ready to become a launching pad for harvest work. You guys ever experienced that? Ever bumped into someone and there was just something about them that you could kind of tell, you know, if this isn't a Christian, they're pretty darn close. There's just something about that person that resonates with your spirit. There's a sense, you know, there's life here. There's a joy here. A few years ago, we went camping up north, Port Clinton area. One of the worst campgrounds I've ever been to. I will never go back again. Like the campsite was the size of that carpet. Okay. And like my dining fly is the size of that carpet. So we had to rent two sites next to each other just to get all of our gear on there. I mean, it was recommended by someone that Elise had done work with. Oh, you should come up to our campground. I mean, it's designed for residences and for trailers, not for tent campers. And we were setting up camp and had been there a couple days, and then someone else set up camp right behind us, like put another carpet right there, and they're setting. And as soon as they were there, and I noticed there was something that resonated inside of me that says, you know what? That's a follower of Christ. That is a follower of Christ. I happened to have one of our church shirts on, and he just made a comment, say, hey, I love your shirt. I said, oh, yeah, and we just started talking. He was a pastor before he was getting ready to go to another church. But there was a camaraderie. There was a sense of we're part of the same family. Okay? That makes sense? He says, learn to tune in that the Spirit is preparing hearts and minds, that you're going to bump into people that God is ready to draw to himself, and you'll be able to notice it. Some of the things that you'll be able to notice, remain in that house, eating, drinking, whatever they provide. For you, the laborer deserves his wages. You're doing the work. You'll receive a return on your investment. Okay, don't go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town, they receive you. Eat what's set before you. Do the kingdom work. Heal the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Well, the message that you've been learning to live out of and proclaim, right? The kingdom of God has drawn near to you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Learning to tune in. Where is this person in the responsiveness to the gospel? Whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, as in you're playing the music and it's fallen on deaf ears, he gives you permission. He gives you permission. Don't keep banging the drum. Don't keep playing the song. They don't want it.
I think sometimes when you push people at that point, you push them away.
Oh. How much damage have the church done because we did not respect people in their process? Yeah. Yeah. Really? Oh, it has to be.
She just talked about the other day.
Really?
Well, actually, yesterday. And she was one of the girls that was there. She was one in scrubs.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
And things have gotten more attention. I'm like, because she's had it granted for her before.
Yeah.
And that's turned her off.
Yep.
Her. I don't know if it's her sister's husband. Like a youth pastor somewhere too.
Oh my, okay.
I didn't ask for it. I didn't care to know.
Yeah, so here's a woman who's definitely exposed to the peace of God, but let's be honest about the process. This heart is not receptive, not ready. Might it be? Sure. And we can pray that into place, right? Pray to the God of the harvest. Pray, 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 pray. The Spirit of God will do something. Definitely. And it's an admonition for like Pam, hey, all right, Pam, you have to stay faithful. You're going to have to walk the, you're going to have to walk the walk, talk the talk. Yeah. But yeah, cramming it down her throat?
No.
No.
That's what I thought. It's like, you just, like, your friend, let her be there when she needs you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to keep, you're going to keep gathering little tinder around that soul. And when that spirit of God is ready, it will catch flame.
She said she's on the fence, receptive, but she has been exposed to that. And she's got a brother or sister that they're like anti-church, 100%. Like,
yeah. It's
like, you're wrong. You know?
Take Stephanie Staley's family as an example. Her son is the one that spoke. I started working with Stephanie probably almost as soon as I moved here. And yeah, Stephanie is up there teaching all of our teens right now,
okay.
All of our youth right now, the one who's up there preaching the Bible, preaching the word. Yeah, that's Stephanie. When I got here, Stephanie believed that she was a tree. And that she just wanted to be a tree. And when she would stand in the shower in the morning, she would, God, make me a tree. And all the forces of the universe, let's kind of all connect and be happy trees. And she would kind of show up about once a year because life had fallen apart. And so I'll go talk to the local clergy guy. And you remember Stephanie back then?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, this is a waste of my time. This is pointless. And all of a sudden, something happened in Stephanie's life, okay? God grabbed a hold. God said it was time. God did these things. And all the prayers and the faithfulness of Stephanie's family gathered around here provided the tinder so that that soul could take light, okay? Well, now all of a sudden, Stephanie's reacting to the gospel and responding to the gospel. And now she's weeping over her son, and she's weeping over her daughter, who's very resistant to and some of the challenges between a split family and all those problems, and her fiance Ryan being resistant to the gospel, and now she's caught in this tension of, and then for a few years this is the reality, and then, you know, one son goes off to a, not a detainment facility this time, rehabilitative,
yeah,
care space. God gets a hold of him there. Caden goes off to camp. God gets a hold of Caden's there. And now Stephanie's family is being completely transformed. Her fiance goes to my foundations class on Sunday night. He's learning how to pray the Lord's Prayer and engage with timing, letting people walk their path. And respecting that and discerning, where is this person at? Is this a person of peace? Is this a person of peace? The kingdom of God has come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go in the streets. Even the dust of this town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. I want you to see what this kind of looks like in the life of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, okay? In Acts chapter 16, this kind of plays out in real time. Apostle Paul is faithful to communicate the gospel wherever he is. He is also there very mindful of noting places where he is sure he will find people of peace. He's very strategic in his thinking. And you'll see that played out in some of these passages. He knows, like, hey, I bet you if we go to this location, we will find an open door for ministry. But even in the presence of trouble and hardship, which he also expects, he's faithful. We need to understand, some people are going to be open doors, some people are going to be brick walls. But God can turn a brick wall into an open door. Just give it some time. So I'm going to read through all of this chapter, and let's just see if we can't notice. And slow me down if you see something or notice something. But let's just see if we can't see this dynamic of open doors, brick walls, of people of peace in the missional work of the Apostle Paul. Now, this is Acts chapter 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, took him, circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. They all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So they're going back to all the churches that they'd planned and just kind of sharing a ministry, some of the wisdom, the teaching of the apostles back in Jerusalem. So the churches were all strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Okay. Things get a little interesting here. Verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What's up with that?
Well, that's your brick wall you're talking about.
It doesn't get more of a brick wall than that. There is something that Paul discerned, or he felt, that in his mind, God's not letting us get to that place. What might some of those reasons be, maybe? What do you think? I mean, it doesn't tell us, but let's just reflect a little bit. Why might the Holy Spirit have shut a door into certain fields of harvest? Yeah, I mean, we're just spitballing. I don't know if there's a right answer or wrong. Well, there's probably a wrong answer, but let's just see if we can't chat it out a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Maybe there are some spiritual strongholds that wasn't time to deal with. Okay. Sometimes, I mean, we've got some people that know farming here. I mean, is Brian harvest year round? That's what? He doesn't harvest year-round? I mean, there's particular times when certain fields are harvested? Okay.
And if it's time to harvest and the field's muddy, what do you do?
Pray the rain
stops. Prayerfully, you don't have your harvester out there when it happens. But yeah, so there's a timing factor. Maybe it's timing. Maybe there's strongholds. What else do you think? Why might the Holy Spirit say no? No. Not there. We're not going there yet.
Maybe it's not safe for them.
Though. Not safe? Yeah. Not part of the plan? Not the order? You know, who knows? But for whatever reason, Apostle Paul, who wants to take the gospel where it's never gone before, through prayerful discernment or just the reading of reality. I mean, you guys have been in a situation, doesn't seem, no matter how hard you try, this is door slam after door slam after door slam. It's like, clearly, maybe God does not want us to go in this direction right now. Okay? He takes it as a spiritual direction, the Holy Spirit, to speak the word in Asia. We're not allowed to go to Asia. But when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them. All right, well, we can't go to the right. Let's go to the left. Spirit's like, nope, don't want you to go that way either. You're not going that way yet. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought up to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. Well, that's interesting.
It's nope. More a timing. It could just be that, hey, stop butting your head over here or you're going to miss this person over here who's ready.
He's praying, asking, God, I need help. God, or the spirits or whatever the higher power is, whatever this person is doing or thinking, God in his infinite wisdom, we're going to answer a prayer. We're not getting prayers from that place. I'm not getting prayers from that place. this guy's asking for help. Here's a door that's ready to be open. I will send my guys there. I'm sending my guys there. Because what's Paul's conclusion? God has called us to preach the gospel there. Yeah. There's some discernment there. There's some discernment. So setting sail from Troas, he made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi.
Dude, Paul, all right, if we're going, we're going, man. Like, it's just, we're not going to dilly-dally. We're not going to sightsee. We're just like Jesus had said, don't be wasting time greeting the uppity-ups on the road. We got work to do. Remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Okay, so remember, Paul is strategic. For some odd reason, he's discerned that, all right, there doesn't seem to be a synagogue gathering within inside the context of the city. They most likely will be gathering in such and such a place. He intentionally goes there with the mindset, all right, I'm going to start having communication with these people who are God followers and see what happens, see what shakes loose. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. Worshiper of God is a Greek person, a Gentile, who is a convert to Judaism. Okay? So a God follower, not a Jesus follower, a God follower. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, her household as well, and she urged us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Paul needs an access point into the harvest that is this town, this community. Paul is very strategic in where he goes and who he talks to. Paul believes that he's guided by the Holy Spirit. He's communicating with people of peace with whom the message seems to resonate. And here is a woman that the Lord opens her heart to the message of the gospel and in turn becomes a mission platform for the Apostle Paul and his team. Hey, come stay at my house. Hey, how can I help you? Hey, what can we do? Okay, now, you had made a comment about Aiden. You have now decided Aiden to be the brightest shining star in the room. What can you expect?
Well, that's what she's expecting. Well, she's asked for help. She's asked for them to come stay.
What can we expect in the story to happen next?
Everybody's chaos. Chaos is going to show up.
Chaos, right? Chaos. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And so is this a good thing? I mean, is she standing out there like with this giant trumpet? Followers of the Most High God, followers of the Most High God. This is new. This is not helpful. Yeah, this is not a helpful thing. She is possessed by a demon. She is trafficked by her owners, you know, to bring them money. So this is not a helpful thing. This she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, dude, you're just pissing me off, said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And it came out that very hour. Talk about sounds of freedom. Right? And when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews. They're disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrates tore the garments off of them, gave orders to beat them with rods, and when they'd inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he
He put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. They were obedient. They did exactly what the Spirit led them to. They were faithful to communicating the gospel. What can you expect? What should we expect? You bring a message of peace, the forces of chaos are not going to be happy, and they will do whatever they can. It's bad enough to get thrown into the prison back in this time. To be thrown in the inner prison is the dungeon inside the dungeon. It would have been rancid. It would have been pitch black. It would have been hell on earth. I mean, if you're claustrophobic, okay, this would have pushed you over the edge. It's a place for forgetting people.
You're talking about an open door and brick wall. So in verse 21, okay, when he is, or the owners have brought him, and he refer, or the owners refer to being Romans. Are they citizens of the Roman Empire, or are they Jewish individuals who are following the Romans? What is their...
So I'm Paul, and this is the master of the girl that I just cast the spirit out of. So his money bag just got completely dissolved. He drags me in front of the magistrates, in front of everybody, and says, listen, this guy is telling us to do things that we shouldn't do as Romans, and he's advocating for customs that we don't believe in. Now, this is going to come back to bite them because you can't do that to a Roman citizen. And Apostle Paul is a Roman citizen, but they don't care at this point. Okay? So, yeah, he is saying that I'm doing things to upset the peace of Rome. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. Which will come back to bite them. But they get thrown into jail. Okay, anyone know what happens next in the story? What's Paul do? Blows me. My life is so hard. Jesus hates me. Everything is so difficult. No, what's he start to do? He starts to sing. He and Silas and the whole team start singing. And what's the result? Do you know? Some reason this earthquake happens, completely busts open the entire jail, takes the doors off the hinges. Now, what would you do if you were interned in such a place? You would have run for it, right? Nope. But the Apostle Paul, because he's intentional, because he understands open doors, because he understands how the Holy Spirit might work, says, no, we're not rushing out of this. This is a great opportunity. He stays put. The jailer comes, the jailer sees the doors wide open, and I'm a dead man. I was commanded by the city magistrates to watch over these people. He takes his sword and is about ready to fall upon his sword, and the Apostle Paul goes, whoa, you don't need to kill yourself. We're right here. Everything's fine. We're right here. Because of Paul's willingness to go through hardship and trial, because of his willingness, his discernment to understand what God was doing, the jailer's like, hey, how do I get saved? Who are you? What is this? And how can I get out of this situation? The Apostle Paul goes back to the jailer's house, the jailer's home. The whole household comes to know the story of Jesus Christ, and another door is open to ministry. So because of Paul's discernment, an open door in the marketplace has been created. An open door in the civic government has been created. Because the Apostle Paul was willing to discern where God was working and where God wasn't. Some doors are going to be closed. Okay. We respect that. God, you have decided not yet. I'm going to keep praying for that family. I'm going to keep praying for that town. I'm going to keep praying for that place. God, you seem to be leading and opening doors and access here. Okay. God, help me to discern. Is there someone in the marketplace? Is there someone in my office that just seems to be sensitive when I talk about the things of peace, when I talk about what God is doing, that it resonates to them?
and then learning to walk through those doors. And those people become access points. The laborers in the harvest. That's what we're praying for. Okay. So when it comes to your out, you're talking about peace. Okay. You're learning to recognize timing. Sometimes it's not the time. Right? Life moments, right? We talk about kairos. Sometimes, you know, God draws near, and sometimes it's time to do things. Sometimes it's like, clearly not. I'm going to respect that. Okay, you don't want to go against the intentions of God. It ain't going to get you anywhere. It will not get you anywhere. And you're not being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ if you keep trying to be a bull in the china shop when it comes to the gospel. Okay, it's not going to work. It's not going to make a genuine follower of Christ. Jesus knew when to walk away. Jesus knew when to let someone walk away. That's hard. That's hard. Respecting timing, talking about the gospel, noticing, discerning those targets, those access points, people that are welcoming, people that listen, people that serve you and make your life easier. Notice in each of these stories, the people that the Holy Spirit brought to Paul or brought to the disciples made their life easier. Hey, can I serve you? Hey, do you want to come to my house? Hey, what can I do for you? That's a person of peace. There's something that the Spirit's doing inside of them that says, hey, I'm trying to subsidize my ministry here, and I want to do it through this person. Walk through this door. Expecting trouble. I expect trouble. Okay? We're moving into a season where I'm noticing and expecting more trouble. Why? I thought we were doing good stuff. Why should things get more difficult as a church because we're doing good stuff? Because we're doing good stuff. And so we're noticing more attacks, strategic attacks. Why? Because we're bringing forth peace, and chaos doesn't like that. So what do? We pray, we're faithful, we're patient. What are you guys noticing? What are you seeing? What's getting your attention as we look at these passages? And I know they're passages that you're probably familiar with. I preached through the book of Acts. What are you seeing? Andy?
Well, I mean, Paul wanted to get into those other areas.
He did.
I mean, it's almost like he was given a clear-cut sign as to what he was supposed to do. Of course, a lot of times, you know, we find ourselves wrestling, is this God trying to change my path, or, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of the most difficult things.
Yeah.
Yeah, here, it makes it look so easy.
Because he's listening better than we are.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it difficult? Because especially in the scripture, take the book of Acts as an example. You can go from one verse to the next verse and 15 years have passed. I mean, it's just kind of the way of, you know, when Luke is recording things. And so you kind of have to learn, like, hold on a second, what is going on here? Because it sure looks like, oh, clearly the Holy Spirit says, do not go to Bithynia. I'm like, oh, that would have been helpful. More in reflection, something must have happened. But in Paul's wisdom and discernment, clearly, God is not opening doors for us there. Look, we're going to have to try something else. Yeah.
Now, does Paul have an unfair advantage?
There's nothing fair on advantage.
Listen to the statement from Paul was originally Saul, correct?
Paul is Saul. Same guy.
So.
Same guy.
He's on the other side. He's on the other side of the line when he starts.
What do you mean?
He is crucifying.
He's a zealous Jew.
Right. He is.
Yeah.
He is unjust to all Christians. Any Christ follower.
Yeah.
He's given carte blanche to go anywhere he wants.
Here's papers, man. License to kill. 007. Yeah.
So now he's on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the Lord sends for him, brings him. And for 3 days, he takes his sight away. So for 3 days, he's lost.
You're talking about the Damascus Road, yeah, yeah.
He's lost his sight for 3 days.
Yep.
He gets on to the end of his journey. His sight is restored.
Mm-hmm.
So now he is presenting a miracle in front of his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And now he says, my eyes are open.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a mistake on this side of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's on this side and he's walking. So when you say, well, he concerns on where to go to set up. So he knew how to walk or where Christians were walking before because he was a bounty hunter. And now he is on this side, and he's a bounty hunter for Christ, for the Lord, because he knows where to go. He knows the signs. He knows how to read the trail, the tracks, to get to where he wants to go. So he has a lot of experience already. Not positive experience for a Christian, but after he becomes a Christian, that negative experience becomes a positive experience for him to leading the path that the Lord wants him to.
I think I see what you're saying. The difference that I would say is, he's establishing new churches. There aren't Christians in these communities.
Right.
Yeah. And for him, he does not want to go where other people have been from a ministry perspective. He wants to find new territory. So he's not looking for Christians. He's not looking to plant where other churches exist. He's looking to get to fresh territory. And he wants to go everywhere that he possibly can. He just wants to blanket everything. I think for me, because I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I want to grab a hold of the fact that he was just so blatantly courageous and would oftentimes ask churches, hey, pray for me that I am courageous in sharing the message of the gospel wherever I go. But he was also willing to suffer, very willing to suffer. In fact, that's when you talked about the Damascus Road. Hey, tell him what he's going to suffer for the gospel. You know, when he sends...
go ahead, because I never remember. This is the story.
I don't remember a guy who's Ananias. It's the other Ananias. Go and tell him, because you know, remember the story, because he's blind, and he's like, "Hey, go tell Saul about he's gonna go follow me." And he's like, "Dude, this is the same guy that kills people. I have no intentions of going ministering to the bounty hunter go tell them what he will suffer for the gospel." But just notice some of those parallels. The Apostle Paul is intentional. He's noticing, hey, I know that if I go down by this river, I'm going to find a bunch of Jews. I'm going to find a bunch of Gentiles who are followers of God, not Christians. They're followers of God, like I used to be. And I'm going to see if I can't, through sharing the message of Jesus, find an open door into ministry. It leads to the gospel with Lydia. And of course, that invites chaos. But even in the presence of chaos and being in prison, the Apostle Paul's like, no deal, no problem, we're fine. Let's see if this can't turn into a launching pad for ministry. So. Your challenge is who in your life, you know, is a person of peace. They're not a follower of God. They're not a follower of Jesus, okay? They're not part of the in. They're on the out. But wow, they seem to be sensitive to your message of peace. They welcome you. They listen to you when you talk about the things of God. They even make your life easier. It's God's way of saying, hey, I take care of my servants. This person is a launching pad into more ministry for the gospel, okay? It's that process of discernment of prayer. Questions? Karen?
I was just thinking, there was a girl that I used to work with and was not a believer.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of us, of course, we had to sign a employee contract that we would speak religion at work.
Oh.
But we didn't.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, you know, we would just get to chatting sometimes, and she wouldn't comment on it. She would just, that she was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I knew she was always listening.
Yeah.
And so we would just continue whatever our conversation was. And it was so interesting because a coworker of mine passed away this spring.
Yeah.
And so Liz and I ran into each other at the funeral home, and she says, "You have no idea how much I miss you and Kelly's conversations at lunch."
Aww.
And I thought, ah, because Kelly's the other
right. Yeah.
person that I was always talking with. And, you know, so I thought, you know, hopefully just that little bit of what I mm-hmm. we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she was definitely one of those that you were not going to force. And
do you believe if you die tonight, you go to heaven? Because you stood before God tonight, and you ask you in heaven what you say? Yeah, like,
yeah.
No yeah.
Conversation.
Yes, through relationship.
She listened, and we never push anything upon her. And sometimes she would ask a question about something, and we would just talk about it, but just never pushed it at all. And sometimes I felt like maybe I should have pushed more, but then at the same time I thought, no, because she was the type of person that the second we would have pushed, she wouldn't have come up and ate lunch with us again.
Aww.
You know, I just know.
There is a discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a respect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're praying for her and you're doing those things and you're being intentional, you're listening for open doors. Mm-hmm. And you just never know. You never know. What were you going to say?
Just remember that no means not right now.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I spent 25 years on the outside practicing Wicca, doing everything outside of Christianity. And finally, my sister said, hey, you got to put a church with me. And if it's finally the right time to say, all right, let's go. Love them where they're at. Keep living by example.
If you had shared the gospel at the wrong time with the Apostle Paul, it would have got you killed. Okay? If you had tried to share the gospel with Paul before it was time for Paul to be Paul, it would have got you killed. Process. Time. That doesn't mean we don't open our mouth. Remember, we're going to keep talking about peace, live in peace, modeling peace. And that message is going to resonate with someone. Let's have the spiritual attunement and ears to notice where those doors are at and the courage to walk through them. And the kingdom grows.
What's interesting, where I work at, my boss was raised Pentecostal. He quotes the entire Bible better than I can.
Mm.
But don't ever bring it up at dinner or anything else. And he's talking about Church of Bonds and this, that, and the other.
Mm.
The guy I ride with says, I don't believe in anything.
Mm.
And he's been going to church for the last 2 months.
It's so cool. Yeah, it's so cool.
You just never know.
There's a quote here in my Bible. It says, God has designed work as the common denominator for the Christian and the non-Christian, and the job is the place where Christians meet non-Christians' worlds.
Isn't that so cool? It's so true. I mean, Apostle Paul was a blue-collar worker, made tents, and that's how he used that as a launching pad for so much ministry. Yeah. In the Bible, a vocational guy like me it doesn't exist. We've kind of created that and subsidized. There have been times where I'm like, I wonder if I should go get a real job. Just because of the way that it opens doors for relationships. So
that is the one thing I do miss about not having a daily work job.
The access to more people and before we come back to our first Sunday, who's these people? Who's your open door? How are you praying for them? How are you being courageous and brave in your conversation? So, good? Yes, Ms. Karen.
One last quote.
Okay.
I just read, Christians are losing their power and influence because they are losing their separateness.
Ooh. You have to keep, yeah, you need to be a person of peace, not a person of chaos. If you're a person of chaos, that's not helping anything. Keep being a person of peace. Father, will you please help us be discerning? We pray for, God, these people that you have strategically positioned in our lives. Help us to tune into these individuals, these persons of peace, these open doors into more ministry. Help us to be respectful and kind in all that we do. Help us to not be jerks. Jesus was not a jerk. Help us to be wise like the Apostle Paul was, to make the most of every opportunity, even when you're in jail and it looks like the doors are wide open, to choose the gospel over comfort, to see your kingdom come and your will done here on earth as it is in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.